Welcome to the Honor It All podcast. I'm Honor Garrett, your host, and we're here to honor all that is good in the world. Each podcast, I interview top professionals around the globe who are making a difference, impacting lives, and creating positive change. Today, we have Kristen Barclay, a well-rounded brand marketer and storyteller with 20 concentrated years of leadership in online and offline marketing, e-commerce, and media spaces. She has made her mark coast to coast in companies such as Pottery Barn Kids and even starting her own company, Bow and Stern. Kristen is also the entrepreneurial mastermind behind Food Quirk, something I can't wait for all of you to learn about today. But what I think makes Kristen so amazing is her creative mind and her love and passion to take on a new challenge. I'm so honored to have you here with me, Kristen, as part of the Honor It All podcast. Welcome. How are you?
I'm fantastic, Honor. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, this is such a treat. I met Kristen on Clubhouse, and I think it's called the Kingdom Room, and she shared her vision and mission with something called Food Quirk, and it sparked my curiosity, and I wanted to know more, so we got on the phone. And so now, Kristen, could you tell our listeners, what is Food Quirk?
Absolutely. So Food Quirk's a couple different things. There's a philosophy side and there's the application side. So let me talk a little bit about the application side and then I'll back into the other one. So Food Quirk is a new online / digital community focused around food with a specific purpose of connecting people around how they eat. So what we do, similar to like an Enneagram or a Myers-Briggs personality test, we developed a food personality test. And as you go through and answer questions about your approach to food, your likes, your dislikes, you know, your aversions, potentially your allergies, really all of your quirks, you're provided a set of results, which we call your FQ. And that FQ is you through food. So it's kind of like your IQ, but it's your FQ. And that FQ gives you instant access to meal inspiration, recipes, product recommendations by others who eat just like you.
That's so amazing because I eat kind of strange. So it's really neat to be able to connect with people. It's actually social media with a real purpose and connection in mind.
Yeah. I mean, like in the industry, they call it like a vertical community, right? A vertical social media. And I try not to use the word social media because there's so many weird connotations with that.
Right.
So I'm using like, it's intentional social media, but it's basically you take one particular topic and you pull it out of the Instagrams, the Twitters, the Facebooks. And, you know, because, you know, if you're interested in food and you're going to Facebook or you're going to Instagram, like there's great content there, but you're like dodging other stuff, right? You're dodging political information. You're dodging tons of ads, you know? And so this is like a very safe space just to talk about how we all eat differently and that's okay. And that's kind of the philosophy thing about Food Quirk and our vision. Like we are like ready to like get rid of the labels because like the traditional labels of, you know, whether that's omnivore, carnivore, herbivore, vegan, you know, vegetarian, keto, whatever. A lot of people these days are a combination of things, right? Mm-hmm. It's just one thing. And to be honest, I was having a hard time figuring out how to talk about how I eat. And so our goal is to just, you know, get the judgments aside, get the labels aside, and really create a new language and an open dialogue around how we all eat. And that it's totally cool that you eat the way you eat, I eat the way I eat, and we all have a seat at the table.
It's really brilliant concept, I think, because you know, maybe I just want a recipe or I just want to share something that I made and I can instantly connect with people that I know are my people. And
your food tribe, right? Like it's your food tribe. You know what I mean?
And the no blaming and no shaming is so huge because you know, I go and I talk to a lot of people, and if they're vegan and I eat meat, well, you know, that's not right. And so this is a beautiful place where you can all come, and it's just like, how do you nourish and heal your body?
Exactly.
How do you?
Food is so personal, right? Like, it's so personal. What we choose to put in our own bodies or put on the plates of the people that we love, you know, it's very personal. There's so many things that go into that, you know, like how you were raised, you know, your culture, your health, you know, your accessibility, your ethics, you know, there's just so many different things that go into that. And, you know, it's just those labels haven't caught up with our, as humans, in terms of what we put in our bodies. And we just, number one, want to open up that conversation and say, like, it's okay. Like, I call myself veganish because I eat mainly plant-based and vegan, but from time to time I'll indulge, you know, or my indulgent, right? Like, and everyone's indulgent is different. But for me, that means like when I'm back home in Rhode Island, I'm having some oysters, or if I've gone out to dinner with some friends and they ordered the cheese board, I'll nibble, you know? And so I want to live in a place and a space where like, that's okay. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not getting, you know, a side eye or a judgment that like, well, you're not really vegan, Kristen. And I'm like, I'm veganish. Just like,
how did you get the idea? Like, how did you get the idea of the Food Cork? Was it born out of your own necessity because of something in your life, or was it just this aha moment you had?
It was definitely out of necessity for me. Two things. One, as I mentioned, I became vegan-ish about 4 or 5 years ago. And on that journey, I was, you know, having to, you know, tell people, because like whether we're going out to dinner or what have you, and I didn't want to be this like weird high maintenance person, right? And so, I was having a really hard time just like describing how I eat, because it wasn't like one thing or another. And so that was one piece, like just in application, being able to talk to people about like what to eat, how do I make that easy for other people if, you know, I'm going to their house or we're going to dinner, what have you. And then secondly, you know, at that same time, my kids were getting older. They were teenagers and having, you know, minds of their own in terms of what they want to eat. So all of a sudden I had four people in my house that ate four different ways for a number of reasons, health, you know, so I'm veganish. My husband, Mike, is, he always wants to be Tom Brady. So he tries to follow the TB12 diet.
We all want to be Tom Brady,
right?
Or date him.
Yeah. I know. Move over, Giselle. And my daughter decided a couple years ago to stop eating meat. And then my son was just like, give it all to me, you know? And I turned to my husband and I was like, I just want to put all of our preferences into Google and have it spit out what I can make for dinner. Cause I don't want to be a short order cook. I don't want to like have to think about how I want to make, you know, four different meals. And he's like, so why don't you do that? So he literally and figuratively pushed me off the mountain or the cliff, because we were talking about it. We were in Colorado at the time skiing, and he's like, you have to do this. And that's what he said to me. So here we are.
Well, it's a big project. So first of all, what have you done in your past, or have you done in your past that you feel like prepared you to be able to do this? Or were you just scared and did it anyway?
No, I really attribute a lot of my experiences to just getting to the point of like feeling like I could do this, right? And so I'm, by profession, a marketer at heart. I started actually in retail, if you can believe it. And then I quickly realized that there was this really cool thing called e-commerce. And so I was like, oh yeah, I want to be there instead of like in a store or what have you. And so, I really kind of cut my teeth in a startup one of the first home furnishings e-commerce businesses that launched in 2000, you know, 99 in 2000. And we were in DC at the time, and then we moved to Manhattan, and then we moved out to the Bay Area. And that was like, I want to do this. You know, it was like that just, and really understanding what it takes to actually get a startup off the ground. And then from there, I went to a completely different experience. I went to corporate America, still in San Francisco, but with Williams Sonoma Inc., with Potty Brown Kids. But I went into their e-commerce area. They were just launching e-commerce for all the brands. So, you know, okay, so I went from a startup then to a legacy retailer that was wanting to go online. And so those two things, like those two experiences,
wow,
really got me the bug and saw not only like where the world was going, but how you can extend a brand and extend an offering in a way that can be with a consumer no matter where they are. And that was just something that I loved. And so like that would like really instill the bug in me.
Well, I mean, you had to have brought tremendous value to Pottery Barn when they were just starting out, because, you know, I'm older. I remember when nothing was online, and to have somebody come in and really help them and show them how to do that is pretty cool. Yeah. You know, we all have the same amount of time in the day. We have the same amount of hours and minutes.
Right.
But I always say some people seem to get so much more done, have the superpower than others. And I kind of feel like you have a lot of balls in the air and you're doing so much. Like, do you have any suggestions for people out there to, how do you handle it all? Do you time block? What do you do?
That's a great question. And I feel like everyone is so different. You know, I have, so I'm a Virgo. So perfection is like my game, and planning is my game. But you know, it's, and to be honest, I work a full-time job. This is my side hustle. So I work a full-time job, and this is something that, you know, is a passion of mine. And, so, you know, for me, it's about just being very intentional with my time each week, you know, and having the patience to know that this is going to take a little bit. It's not going to happen overnight. Right. But I think that's the hard thing for me, because I want to, like, I see it, I see exactly where it should be, and it's going to take a little while to get there. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
But yeah, I think time blocking is really important. And, you know, it's, we all have so many things in our lives, thankfully, you know, I just try to keep things prioritized, you know? And so I fit Food Quirk in where I can, you know, time block things just for me. And it seems to be working.
That's cool. Well, you know, as a health, life, and mindset coach, I really believe your health is so important to success. Right. I mean, 100%, because number one, if you're not taking care of your body, then you're not going to succeed in other areas of your life. And if you by chance do, you won't be able to enjoy it. Right.
Exactly. And it won't be sustainable.
Right. So I love that you're bringing food to the table and talking about different ways and how different people do different things. Because when I meet with a client, every single person is absolutely individual. Whether they're allergic to something, or whether they're, you know, they're sensitive to something, whether they have a preference for this, whether they have a religious belief, whatever it is, and how I'm excited where I can incorporate it with my clients and have them take the test and figure out, you know, I'm not just doing this program that I have, I'm tailoring it around what you like. And then also, you know, to use Food Quirk, just the everyday person being able to have it. What about when you have a dinner party and two of the people eat completely different?
Absolutely.
Or you eat different. How do you handle that when you go? How do you graciously handle that when you go to someone's house who's made this big meal, but there's almost nothing you can eat that they've prepared?
Yeah, it's funny. That tends to happen when I and we go back home for Mike, because he's from Pennsylvania, and they like their meat there.
Yes, they do.
But, you know, it's funny. I feel like it's actually more of my responsibility versus the host. Like, I've kind of, like, in my mind, kind of flipped it a little bit, where if I'm invited to dinner, I'm proactively saying, hey, I'm so sorry, but I'm the high maintenance one. I just don't eat meat, whatever that might be. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been more proactive with that and having that dialogue. And it kind of comes from the whole mission of just wanting to, like, it's okay to be that way. It's okay to talk about it, but it's also, you assume that other people are going to ask, if that makes sense.
Right. No, it's funny. It's interesting. I was looking up, I don't know if you've ever heard of human design.
I have actually.
Well, and I don't know much about it, but I was reading about it and I found out that I'm a manifester. There are four different things. Yep. And it says the one thing that I need to do to get what I want in life is I need to inform people first. And as a manifester, I don't like to inform people because I like to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And I'm afraid if I inform somebody, they're going to say, no, you can't do that. And I'm like, wait. Right. And so, so manifestors tend to be a little sneaky because they don't, they just want to do it. Right. And so I think that's such great advice, because when I'm going to someone's house now, I say, I know you're making a beautiful meal, but I actually have a restricted diet. I can even blame it on the doctor or whatever. Absolutely. I have a restricted diet. Yeah. So please don't be offended by what I eat or don't eat. And I really appreciate you going to all this trouble. And when you inform them ahead of time, then they'll probably say, but what can I make you? Right.
Yeah. And I just, it just tears down that wall immediately, you know, and it sets the host up for success as well, you know, and the same thing, like for going out to dinner, you know? So, it's funny because, when we moved, we live in Virginia Beach, well, we're in Norfolk now, but we're in that area. When we moved here, actually Tamara Andrus and her husband invited us to dinner because their kids go to the school where my husband is the principal. And she asked, you know, she was like, so do you have any preferences? And I was like, you can do it with restaurants too. And I think a lot of people are starting to get in the habit of asking that. But just imagine if you, instead of saying that, be like, hey, Kristen, what's your FQ? Just so I know. You know what I mean? And that's the vision that we see, you know? So like, if you're having that dinner party, you know, if I'm the host, I'm going to be like, hey guys, can you just shoot me all your FQs? You know?
That's awesome.
And then
you can go from there. And right? For just the fact that people can discuss it. And then also, you know, what's your vision, or do you have a long-term vision of, you know, having cooking shows? Do you see it with people just sharing information, sharing recipes?
I mean, I think we're trying to be an intentional user-led brand. So we're starting out with recipes, meal inspiration, products, but we're constantly asking our users what they're wanting. It's because the whole slew list of things we
do,
right? And yes, is there like virtual cooking shows and lessons and, you know, and meetups and conversations like this? Absolutely. Like all of those can be built.
Right.
Platform. But we want to prioritize it based on what our users are asking for. But the long-term vision is that your FQ lives on your phone, you know, and
that's,
you know, a flow code or a QR code, and, you know, you can integrate it with your Grubhub. You could integrate it, you know, with your healthcare provider. You could send it off to, you know, your daughter's college, you know, so they know how she eats, you know. If you have a babysitter coming, here's how my child eats, you know. There's just, I think that the whole goal is that you should be able to have that FQ anywhere you go to have experience through food. Like that's the long-term like BHAG
vision. Right. Well, I'm thinking just plug it into you know, my online grocery shopping and
exactly
and ideas come up of things that I can do and things like that. So I just think that's so exciting. And, you know, so whether you're a foodie, all foodies should be on it, but really if you eat, and we all do,
everybody
should be on it because it just, helps open conversation and sparks creativity and Well, so tell me, it may be a food quirk thing or it may be something else, but I really believe that, you know, we've all learned the most out of some of our worst or biggest failures. And so, is there, what's the biggest lesson, life lesson that you've learned that's been helpful for you?
That it's okay to trip, right? So, honestly, I just had one of the biggest ones in the last 30 days. Like we launched beta at the end of June and, you know, had a bunch of people come in and we had the strategy to actually start PR at that point. And you know, we felt the product was good. And one of the strategies was to have, a lot of, you know, editors or reporters actually take the quiz and join the community early, you know, kind of like early access for the media. And it blew up in my face.
Okay.
We weren't ready. You know, there, we got more users in there and there were some pretty big bugs, you know, and, so the lesson that I learned is that, you know, to hold back as much as you can, really feel good about the product before you open it up to the world. And, you know, I think the strategy was great on paper, but in execution, made us vulnerable. And so,
well, and we get so excited about what we're passionate about. And I really encourage people, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know what? You probably learned more from that to make the next time like 10 times as good as it would have been had you not had that. So, I mean, I think people, it's a great thing for people to see there. And, you know, there might be some listeners out there listening to this and they think, wow, this is such a great idea. I have a great idea for something, but you know, they're just so fearful of stepping out or doing something different. Do you have any advice for somebody who just has a great idea and they don't know what to do with it?
It's scary. It's, and it's a human, like, you know, kind of the fight or flight, right? Kind of thing. And you have something like that and it's almost, so my husband right now is a head of school for a Quaker school. And so they do what they call meeting for worship. And meeting for worship is basically all the kids get in a room and they're absolutely silent. Like no one talks. And you can only talk once you're moved to talk, whatever that is, you know, greater universe, your inner light, you know. And they have this saying that it's either you stand up or you throw up something in there, right? Like that you want to get off your chest. And it's the same thing with entrepreneurship, honestly, like you have this, you're like, you have this idea. It's, you know, it seems really good and you're scared to do it, but if you don't stand up and at least try, you know, then you may have missed a moment. Right. but I think for me, what helped me get to where I felt confident enough to work through it is I have two very good friends who are my mentors who are out back in California. They're very successful. And I was like, okay, I was like, I'm going to pitch them. And I told them, I said, the only thing I want to hear at the end is either you're crazy and pack it in or keep going. And they said, keep going. And so
that's awesome.
It got me a little more confidence. And then I kept going to more trusted people and doing the same thing. So it was like that, just kind of repetitive a repetitive nature of making yourself vulnerable, mm-hmm. right? And if you get enough, keep going. You know, it helped me, and I think it can help people.
Yeah, it's such a balance between following your passion and also having the wisdom to receive advice from people that you trust.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a beautiful dance, because sometimes if they said no, would you have not done it, or would you have still done it?
Right. Yeah. I think, you know, these people that I talked with, whether it was my mentors or, you know, trusted friends and, you know, previous working relationships, I knew that they would say, you know, maybe, you know, yeah. somewhere in between, not to make me feel better, but more like, I just know I would have gotten the real truth from them.
That's awesome.
Or they would have suggested, like, there's something there, Kristen, but I don't know if that's the right application or something like that, you know? And so, yeah, I think that's one of the biggest things that I've learned, that I've just had to be really, a really good listener, you know, but also to keep intentional mm-hmm. in what I believe is the right thing.
Well, I love the stand up or throw up.
Isn't that great? That,
I've never heard that, but like, that's so real. It's
like, right? It is.
And you might do both. Actually.
Right. You could absolutely do both. But it's that feeling, you know, that you get, that you're like, oh, like, I either have something to say or I have to do it. I think in this world, like, we are called in many different ways, you know, and entrepreneurship is definitely one of them.
Well, I think so many people spend their life thinking, I've got to find my purpose. What is my purpose?
Yeah.
And honestly, I really try to tell people, what do you value? What lights you up? What are you passionate about? Because you don't have to have the destination goal, everything figured out, so it looks like this pretty package.
Right.
Just follow and be curious in the direction of what you're passionate about. And right. it may not really look like what you exactly thought it was going to look like, but you obviously are passionate about Food Quirk because you have a busy schedule and you're figuring out how to fit it in. And it's probably not even work. Like, you're excited about it, right?
Most times. Yeah. There are, you know, and I think the other part of entrepreneurship is, you know, you wake, at least for me, I wake up every day and yes, I'm excited because like things are moving, but it's also scary because I'm the only one who's like responsible. Yes. Do I have like an amazing group of people around me kind of obviously helping, but at the end of the day, if I don't continue to initiate, it's not going to move forward. Mm-hmm. So it's an awesome responsibility. Mm-hmm. That for me, I have to kind of just check myself a lot to make sure that it's not kind of overpowering me, and kind of just keeping it, you know, at arm's length instead of it being a part of me. It's kind of like, because I work from home a lot, and I mean, you do too, and it's like, you know, where it, that work, it bleeds into your personal life, right?
Yes.
Turn it off. I've had to be very intentional of like, I only do work in this room, right? Like, so the other part of the house, I'm not in work mode. But it's with entrepreneurship, it's like, it's always there. Right. And so
it's always there. I mean, my husband is like, okay, you can turn it off now. You promised me you were going to set hours. And then it's funny, because you, when you're an entrepreneur, you feel like, well, I need to be there in case somebody needs me, or there's a million things to do, but it's like that in any business. And so we really have to like balance. How do you take care of yourself, or what are other things that are really important to you in your life, in your or hobbies, or I know you have a beautiful family.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I have to exercise every morning. I just like, sets my mind, sets my intention. It gets me going. That is really important. And I had the most beautiful experience today. I'll just share real quick. Like, I went for my run and we live near the water, and it's called the, like an outlook kind of place where you go and the water's there. And that's where, like, I could turn around. Right. And so I went and I had the dog with me, and it was like silent. Like, it was just like, It is like a placid kind of water. And all of a sudden, just one dolphin was like,
poop. Oh, so beautiful.
And it was just, I don't know. It was, you know, so it's like those moments are really important to me. And I've done that since my kids were little. And so they, you know, I think just having some of those things that they know are important to you, again, to, like, you know, mom has to put the oxygen mask on before she can put it on anybody else. Like, that for me is like absolute. So for sure, time in the morning to run, sleep is huge for me. I'm a power sleeper. I have to have 8 hours or I don't function well. It's just who I am. And then just time with my family, you know? And so, like, I really try not to work, you know, between like 5 and 8, because that's just like, right. You know, as you know, the house is buzzing, things are happening, and that's when you pick up what's going on, you know? And so.
I'm actually going to probably vacuum my house after this. It's Friday. I need to clean before the weekend. So, it's interesting. But, so, you know, I mentioned to you before that my husband is a football coach, and I honestly think that leading a team is literally his genius. It just comes natural. He can get up in front of a team and just roll off a speech off his tongue. Like, you're like, how do you do that? And he doesn't even, but what would you say is your genius?
Oh my God. That's such a good question. It's definitely working with people. I think that the piece that's really served me well through my career and my personal relationships is that I'm a really good empathize. I can put myself in other people's shoes. And so I use that in a way to really understand where that person's coming from, so that no matter what we're doing, whether it's I'm trying to get someone to do something, meaning, like, you know, a job or whatever, or it's my son in the next room who, you know, needs to clean his room. I'm really good at connecting people.
Yeah.
Making people talk the same language. That's what I'm best at.
And that's why Food Quirk is going to be so amazing, because that's what you're doing. So That's really great. So, is there anything else you want to share about Food Quirk that we didn't bring up? I'd love for you to share anything else that you want to share, or how will people know when it's ready and when they can jump in and get involved?
So if you just go to foodquirk.com, we're taking reservations for early access. That's the best way to just get your name on the list. You'll get like actually a seat number, which is kind of fun. And we are letting people in all the time. You know, the other thing is to definitely follow us on Instagram. We're having a lot of fun over there, and we're showing a lot of content that's actually in Food Quirk, so people can get idea of the kind of information and people that they'll have access to. So we're on Instagram at food.quirk. And those are the two biggest things right now.
Well, I'll tell everybody, all the listeners, I'll have all the information under the podcast, whether it's on YouTube or it's on Apple, Spotify. So if you want to get in touch with Kristen or Food Quirk, it'll be just a click away, and, you know, maybe you have a question for her, or as it grows, you might even have positions of people wanting to do things for Food Quirk, or I would love to do a class. I would do a food class or a health class just for fun. Right. But I'm so glad that you came on today. And I end every single podcast with the same question for every guest. So this podcast is called the Honor It All Podcast. So what are you choosing to honor today?
I love this question. I'm actually honoring my dad today. My dad passed away almost 20 years ago. One of the other reasons that I did start Food Cork or I went on the plant-based journey is because I have a heart condition, and he did too. And I am a much healthier version today because of what he did for us, and the education that I have now, in terms of how food can be medicine. When I say there's many people that keep pushing me in the right direction, he's one too. There are a lot of signs in this universe that I know are because of him, and he continues to open doors for me. So I'd like to honor him.
That is absolutely beautiful. And it's a perfect way to complete this episode, guys, with Kristen Barclay. Thank you, Kristen.
Thank you, Honor, so much. You're amazing. Appreciate this opportunity. And I just love that we're getting to know each other. So thank you.
Well, I'm excited. I know this is just the beginning. And until next time, remember everyone, we are not promised tomorrow. So be present today. It is the gift, and take time to honor it all.